We live life through stories. Stories for mere information. Stories for learning. Stories for building cultures. Stories for painting the future. Stories for creating the future. Our lives are a culmination of stories, one after the other. You and I are who or what we are today because of stories we chose to believe, or stories we created, or stories we are creating. Welcome to Storytelling for Parenting, a podcast channel by Arrows and Archers, a faith-based parenting community. On this podcast, we will tell stories, stories that aid our parenting journeys. We will listen to stories from those who have gone ahead or gone a distance in the journey of parenting or raising children. We will learn how to pass values and wisdom for life to our children through stories. It's going to be rich and impactful every time you join us. Welcome again. My name is Joy Akinwumi, your chief storyteller.
It is not the mountain we conquer, but ourselves. This quote is by Edmund Hillary. How would you describe ambition and the quest for it? You could say ambition is an intent, a goal, a drive, some zeal. But do you know that ambition can take you on a journey? This is the part of ambition that most people are not aware of, neither do they plan for it. Welcome to Storytelling for Parenting. I hope you are well. My name is Joy Akinwumi, your chief storyteller. I am excited to be sharing with you again today. If you are just joining us, welcome. Thank you for choosing to spend this next few minutes with me. Storytelling for Parenting is a podcast channel by Arrows and Archers. And Arrows and Archers is a leadership entity that caters to Christian parents, helping them develop leadership capabilities for spirit-led and transformational parenting. If you're a regular listener, it is great to have you back. Thank you. So welcome again. Sit back, enjoy, grab a cup of your favorite drink if you can. And if you're like me and you enjoy listening to podcasts, messages and the likes while you're driving, enjoy. I will see you in a bit. Welcome back. This episode is titled The Story of Ambition Part 2. I have shared one part of this whole series earlier. In Part 1, I spoke about how ambition can be fueled by stereotypes, norms, practices, and cultures, and how as parents we must submit our ambition for our children to God's will for them. But today, I would like to talk about how ambition can take you on a journey and the long-lasting impacts of ambition. I am intrigued by the ambition of a parent in the Bible and how this ambition transmuted into something completely different to what she was thinking at the beginning. And I love the Bible, chiefly because it is the living word of God that has the power to change persons and situations, you know. But I also love it because it has stories of everyday people who, even though they lived in another time, they experienced and displayed the same characteristics and attitudes which are also prevalent in our own modern day. And history has a way of teaching us and revealing unbroken patterns to us. Ambition is great, but it also has the potential to be injurious. Hear me out. Ambition is relative. What one person strives for, the other person may not see as significant. The story I'm sharing with you today is the story of a mother's ambition that lived longer than her and negatively impacted on the generations after her, but could possibly have not been traced to her. So this is where we need to be looking closely and reading the data that history has presented. Everything has a source. Sometimes we don't look close enough because things have branched into many paths and streams, and we fail to look deeper into finding out where the source is. And in this story, there is deep-seated, inveterate, ingrained scheming that was born out of an ambition taken too far. I think about Sarah, Abraham's wife, and her ambition for a son. At some point during her waiting period, God had come and made her and Abraham a promise of a son. The Bible does not tell us about her state of mind before this promise and whether she was upset or moody or whether it even bothered her. But ambition set in for Sarah after the promise was given, and she started to draw hope from that promise that God had given to them. But things took a different turn. God made the promise and even gave a timeline. How fantastic. But Sarah seems to have a better plan, and she mapped out a strategy that could deliver God's promise to her at the time that God has stipulated. By the way, you'll find this story in Genesis chapter 15 and 16. Sarah had forgotten that God made the promise and had told her when it was going to happen. That's the best place to be, isn't it? Because you know that your wait is not endless and you have something to look forward to. Sarah's own strategy and scheming included giving her maidservants to Abraham so that the process and the promise that God spoke about could be expedited. Now, her maid gets pregnant with a son, then she realizes that she can't lay claim to another woman's son. When things don't go her way, she throws the maid out. What Sarah didn't know is that she had set the tone for something similar to be perpetrated for generations to come. But by this time, in the next generation to come, it had metamorphosed. It was now deep-seated and is established. All of this starting from Sarah's ambition. Next, we see that her daughter-in-law, Rebecca, also schemed her way into fulfilling God's word to her, as if it was even in her power. By showing favoritism and unequal attention to one of her twins over the other, you know, she had schemed her way into fulfilling God's purpose and, you know, word about her children. We know how the story goes from there. Jacob, her favorite twin, took what belonged to his other twin, and Esau, who was the owner of the birthright that was stolen by Jacob, set himself on a quest to find and kill his brother. And we know how the story goes from there. Then we go into another generation, which is the generation of Jacob and his own children, or Jacob's children. By the time this same ambition that started with Sarah reached Joseph and his brothers, it had become full-blown attempted murder versus human trafficking. And Sarah would not have been pleased with the trajectory of her ambition. She sowed the wind in one generation, and a wild wind was generated in another generation. What's interesting in all of this started after God had promised and given his word about something. When we go our own ways and map out our own strategies to what God has given us or told us or for what God has promised us, we're simply telling God, I cannot trust you to do what you have promised. I cannot trust you to bring my child into the destiny that you have crafted for him or her. Now, God gives you a promise, gives you a word for your child, tells you what your child is going to do, gives you a picture, an insight into who your child is. But then we set ourselves on this journey of I'm going to get it done myself through what I know how to do best. You know, I like to map out things for myself. I don't like to be caught unawares. I've got to do this. I'm not saying that we cannot plan and we should not plan as parents. What I'm saying is we plan according to what God has laid down because He knows better. If we hand our children over to God, we must trust God with our children. They are His to begin with, and He is more interested in who they become more than we are. I think we should be spending our time asking God, what's next in the plan? What do I do next? What do I need to do to support my child to step into what you have called them to do or who you have called them to be? Now, you might find yourself in a tough spot right now in your parenting, but even that does not take God's plan off track. He always has a plan of redemption, a way out. So I think spending some time to acknowledge that we are dependent on God for His plan for our children to come to fruition and that we don't have the resources to do it on our own is being wise. That's a wise thing to do. You can take that tough situation to God and ask Him to open your eyes to what your perspective should be and where you should be looking. This is much, much more better and safer than creating our own strategies and plans and mapping things out outside of God. The story I shared with you today started with a promise. God gave a promise, you know, told Sarah she was going to have a baby at this time, at a particular time. But it seemed too slow for Sarah. So she went in and did what she thought was the best way to bring God's plan to pass. And then that ambition transmuted into something else. When her daughter-in-law picked it up, it became favoritism and undue attention, and her own children were running from each other, or one was running from the other. Then it went into Jacob's generation, and Jacob's sons were now so infuriated and incensed against their own brother Joseph because of a word that God had given him, and they sought to kill him, sold him into slavery, and it just became messy. But because God always has redemption in the way, in the plan, He always weaves that in. Joseph was saved, a generation was saved, a people and a nation were saved. I think this is a good place to pray. Just to pray about tough situations and pray about us being aligned to God's will for our children and submitting our own ambitions. Especially where God has given you a word. You know, we need to be in that place that we need to have that disposition and that posture of trust that God will do what He says. And I'll just pray. Father, I thank You because You are faithful and You keep Your word. You are good and You are kind. The Bible tells us that the thoughts that You have towards us or concerning us are good thoughts, and they bring us to a good future, an expected future. And You always plan good things for us. I just pray for whoever is listening to this right now, who might be in a tough place in their parenting. I ask that, Lord, You will touch them and open their eyes, ease their pain, show them where they need to be looking. Lord, point them towards the resources that You have created for them to come out of this hard place. Comfort them. I also pray for anyone who is listening to this, Lord, who seems to think they have it all together and all planned together. I really just ask, Lord, that You help each and every one of us to submit our ambitions to You, our ambitions for our children, who they should be, what they should engage in, what they should do, to submit them to You, but to always have the posture as well of asking, what do I do next? How do I support this child? What's next in the plan? I pray that You help us through this journey of parenting. Lord, these children are Yours. Help us to be aligned to You. In Jesus' name, I have prayed. Amen. Thank you very much for joining me on this episode of Storytelling for Parenting. I hope this has blessed you. And I hope that you found something you can take away. Even if it is simply just saying to God, I trust you. I am going to trust you from now on. I submit my will, my ambition to you and to your will. Please check us out on all our social media handles at Arrows and Archers. Go and look at our website at arrowsandarchers.com. And until I bring you another story, have a lovely week ahead and a blessed month of May. And please leave us a review if you're listening to this podcast. Let's know how this has blessed you. Thank you very much and have a wonderful day. God bless you. Bye-bye.